Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio from the Roswell Infinity Studios here at Digital Ignition. I am Mike alongside John. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Should be a great show today. Three good guests.
We've got a great show. Great
tell
guests.
Us who's on the program, John.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
Let's
We're changing it up a little bit.
We're going to change it
I'm
up here.
Feeling a little rebellious today.
I know it. I know you've been catching flack, so you're going to change it up, right?
Anything to make me look better? Yes, I'm doing it.
Okay, here we go. Today on the show, we've got Carrie Matthews. Carrie is with Opal Partners Group. We have Carrie Jones, and Carrie is owner of The Hive Solution. And last but not least, Trent Bramlett. And Trent is owner with his sister of Ceviche Taqueria.
That's why. Perfect.
Did you like that?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. And Trent will also be called Carrie during the show as well. We're going to have three Carries in the group.
Yeah, here. We may mess it up because we've got Carries here today.
All right. We're going to start with Carrie Matthews with Opal Partners Group. Good morning, Carrie, number one.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Tell us about Opal Partners Group. What does your company do?
Opal Partners is a consulting company providing fractional COO services to small and mid-sized services companies in the Atlanta area.
Okay. Now, let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, so we've got the COO part. Let's talk about what does the COO do for those that don't know? I mean, let's get into the functionality of that.
The COO is normally in an organization, the person responsible for making sure all the operations of the company work together. From a fractional COO standpoint, some companies don't need a full-time resource. So we'll have people that want somebody just a few hours a week to help out with those high-level executive functions, and that's what we provide. It's probably more common in the CFO role. People have accountants and bookkeepers, but they have a CFO come in for a few days a month or a few hours a week and do financial strategy or forecasting and modeling that the accountant couldn't do. And I do the same thing for operations, bring in expertise at the operations level for the executives.
So describe a scenario or two in which your services would be needed?
Well, there's a wide range of it. There can be some events that happen to a company that may want someone to call me to come in. Something like you have rapid growth in the business and you're kind of outrunning your systems and your processes and you kind of look around and go, oh no, what's going on here? You may have lost a key executive. You may be preparing for some change in the business, something like a merger or an acquisition or adding a new product line, adding new locations, things like that. Those are some events that may happen, but there may be some just general conditions that make you want to also consult with a fractional COO. I mentioned growth. A lot of times when you start growing quickly, you realize that your processes and your tools and your systems that got you there aren't going to get you where you want to go next. You've kind of outgrown them. You also, when you start hiring a lot of people, you have to make sure you're managing the culture. Your culture is really part of the DNA of your company. And if you don't have time to invest in making sure that your values and the way you behave are being handled correctly, you can lose the company that you have. So that'd be a great trigger when you see problems with personnel that's starting to arise. Other triggers that may have someone consider using a fractional COO, your expenses start rising faster than your revenues. No one likes that. If the executives are so busy fighting fires, they're working in the business and not on the business, and they're therefore going things that help them be successful at the vision level and the strategy level, then you need to bring someone in like me.
Carrie, how do companies contract out with you? It sounds like it's not something where you come in and you're there for a week and you're gone. I mean, it's obviously there's some projects there where I would think they contract you out for an extended length of time. How does that work?
It can work two ways. It may be a project basis. They may have me come in to work on a specific project due to a certain level of expertise, or it needs a lot of executive oversight and the current team doesn't have time to invest and lead in that. So that may be one scenario. More common, though, is them to we'll work together, understand what their needs are, and we'll put together a schedule. Maybe it's one day a week, maybe it's two or three days a month. And we work together either remotely or on site, working together over a period of time.
Here's my strange question, and that is, have you ever worked with a company that already had a COO in place?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Yes. Sometimes, like I said, the executives may be stretched too thin. In this case, the current COO has decided to retire and is going to be leaving within the next 12 months. And we have to do some transition planning and getting things ready for that transition for the business.
Now, I would imagine one maybe value add that you would provide to someone that's already got a COO is in the area of strategic planning, because that's a step back to look at the business in a big picture point of view, right?
Strategic planning is near and dear to my heart. It's really the foundation for all you do as a business. I believe that if you talk to different people, everybody has their own way of doing strategic planning. I think there's three critical components. And the first two are usually skipped. People start straight in with their strategic plan. I think you need to take a step back and look at, first of all, who you are. Why did you as the owner or the executive team start the business? What was the vision that you had? How do you make decisions? What are your values? What culture do you want to have? You need to understand who you are first before you can start working on the strategic plan. The second piece is understanding the marketplace. How does the market perceive you? Who are your customers? Why do your customers buy from you versus your competitors? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Once you understand who you are and where you fit in the marketplace, then you can go build a strategic plan to maximize on your strengths and capitalize on those to hopefully maximize your chances of success.
Now, we've talked about some of the triggers that why a company would hire you. Talk about some of the challenges that you find when you get there that you've maybe helped a company process.
You know, it's funny. No matter what the problem is, a lot of times it comes down to accountability and people. Everyone thinks they want accountability until they actually hold someone else accountable, and they don't like that. So that's always a challenge. A lot of times the owners, the executives know what they need to do. They just need to be pushed to do it. So a lot of times I'm acting as a coach, giving them the freedom to say, okay, you've bounced this off someone else. This makes sense. Let's go execute what. And then we'll process the reasons why they're not doing those types of things. Another thing is certainly the expenses being too high. That can happen for a lot of reasons. You had a problem at one point, you brought some people on to help solve that problem, and your org chart got out of control. You may have some people who aren't performing well. And there was one company that I worked with, and we looked at their org chart, and I was confused by it, and that's something that shouldn't happen. Tons of directors with no direct reports or one direct report. So they had very broad management, but there was all the decision-making was very siloed. There was no single chain of command, and the expenses really got out of whack because of that. So we had to consolidate the org chart to get that back into something reasonable and sustainable and that people understood how the business worked.
Kerry, let's back up for just a second, and because you've obviously bring a lot of experience to the table. You've worked in a lot of different situations. Talk a little bit about your background and what you, some of the experience that you help, that really helps inform what you give to companies.
Sure. I started off in large companies, Fortune 500, actually Fortune 100 companies, and I was in sales and operations roles there. I had a chance to work with some small businesses beginning about 1999, and I really fell in love with small business. If you're involved in a small business and you're not there, something's not being done. And it doesn't really seem that way when you're in a large Fortune 500 company. You can be on vacation and no one even knows that you're not there. It's not the case in a small business. So I kind of fell in love with that. I began doing all aspects of operations. I've been primarily in technology companies, software as a service, technology installations and service, and I've handled project management, warehousing. I've led the accounting teams, the software designer teams, engineering teams, been responsible for HR functions. So I've had a very broad base, which a lot of people in small businesses do. And I've always enjoyed helping other people's help people attain their goals. And I thought, why don't I take what I enjoy doing and go work with other business people who have questions or need some outside help every once in a while?
We're talking with Carrie Matthews. He is a managing partner with Opal Partners Group. So what was it like making that leap? You came up with the idea and said, I want to go down this road. Had to be scary at first.
You know, it really wasn't. It kind of was something I had in the back of my mind for a long time. I thought, when I retire, I want to go help small businesses. That way I have a purpose for getting up in the morning. Then I started thinking about it. I really don't believe in retirement. I mean, I may want to quit working 40 or 50 hours a week, but I always want to have a reason to get up. Working with my previous company, I saw there was an opportunity. They needed to do some changes. I needed to make some changes. I said, now's the time to do it. And it was funny. I started having several people just ask me, have you ever thought about opening your own business? And when you get that question from three different people within a month, you know, you kind of go, maybe I should consider this. And it just worked out.
How do you find your new business? Do folks find you, or do you have to go out? How do you go out and get them?
Primarily, I work on referrals. If you don't trust the consultants that you're working with, you're not going to get very far. So I work with a lot of the people that I've known, and I've been in Atlanta since 1994. Reach out to people that I know and, you know, tell me, here's who I help. Do you know somebody in this situation? Or who do you know that knows everybody that I need to meet?
I got you. Well, for those that are listening, that would like to find out more about your company and a fractional COO and how that could help their business, where can they get more information?
Well, they can go to my website at opalpg.com, or they can call the office phone at 678-845-6141.
And Opal Partners, where'd the name come from, by the way?
Well, it's a funny story. I work in operations, and I'm a strong believer in a culture of alignment. And if you take the first two letters of operations alignment, put them together, you have Opal. And it just so happened that that was my birthstone. I said, okay, it's meant to be.
There you go. That's a great story.
Great story.
Great. Carrie, thank you for coming by and sharing the information and continued success.
Thanks for having me.
Mike Faratek is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Faratek has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more information, visit faratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com. Faratech. Right. Great people and remarkable service.
Sorry.
We got to get the tagline in there, right, man?
I jumped all over the tagline there.
I know.
You were so emphatic with the spelling of the website. I thought you were done. You would think I would know by now.
You would think. We've only done that how many times?
You were on vacation last week, not me, but it seems like I was.
Well, we got to get it together here, right? So,
gotcha. Yeah. All right, let's go on to Carrie number two here.
Let's do it.
Carrie Jones with a company called The Hive Solution. That's The Hive Solution, HIVE. So I have feelings like bees will be involved or something here.
Yeah, she buzzed in here today.
Oh, Carrie, welcome to the program. Sorry about the bad pun from John. Tell us about The Hive Solution.
The Hive Solution is a virtual office assistant company. We started in 2014. We answer phones and do admin support services for small businesses and solopreneurs. And we offer great customer service, and we have a lot of fun.
Well, just by your title, president/beekeeper, tell us about the whole theory of using bees, where you came up with this.
Well, I decided that I was looking for a way to make it fun and resonate with people. And I also wanted an old-fashioned customer service theme. And I was always joking about how I was always a busy bee doing whatever it is I was working on. And I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I've been doing that since 1999. And I like the idea of bees and how bees work independently, yet they function as a unit and they work as a team. And I thought that was really important. And I designed my logo so that it reflected both the old-fashioned customer service aspect and the beehive, and gave that old-fashioned little bit. There's a fun fact about bees. Honeybees never sleep.
Really?
I didn't know that. You learn something new every week on this program.
Every week.
And you could call everybody honey, and it would kind of fit in with the theme.
Totally fits.
There you go. Well, you probably already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. There are other companies out there that do the virtual office help and all that.
They do.
What makes you different? Other than the cool name, theme, and the fun.
We're different because we offer phone support and as well as the admin a lot of the companies offer. And we do it on a case-by-case or custom basis, case-by-case. So if a customer comes in and they only need a few hours a month, we can offer that. I do everything based on a package price because as a small business, my husband had a handyman business. And when I was looking for a business like this, it did not exist. So it was really important to me to find a company that would allow me to do a package price where I knew in advance what my costs were going to be. And I wasn't hit with a huge fee at the end of the month that I didn't expect and was blown away by, because that's what the others were looking like. And then there's also companies out there that do virtual phone support, but they're all named Ruby, for example. And I didn't want to be one of those.
Well, now speaking of difference, not to mention anybody else, but I mean, there are people that answer the phones.
Right.
But what you seem to offer is you really get under the hood of a business so you can really be a lot more responsive to maybe a potential client that's calling in to get more information. Talk about how that works.
Absolutely. We take care of our customers when we get to know the business by creating a client information manual for every single customer. It's completely customized. I create it as an interactive PDF so that the bees can go online at any moment onto our server, pull up their document, very quickly find the information by searching the table of contents and clicking the button of the, you know, pricing or what their services that they offer, any information that we need to know. Because your office would know that information at the drop of a hat. We're able to onboard very quickly our bees as they come in. This year we've hired one full-time and one part-time, so I now have 4.5 bees. So, so we were able to very quickly onboard our new bees, and they were able to take care of customers right away within a few weeks, as opposed to other employees that might join a company and it takes months to learn their business and everything that they need to know.
So I guess the point really though, just to get back to the original question, your answer to that question is when a potential client calls in, you're able to engage that client a little more than the typical answering service and maybe pull that client into the hive a little bit more for your clients, right?
Right.
I mean, because you've given them more information and you engage them more.
Absolutely. We actually get to know the customers I wouldn't say they become our best friends, but we engage them and we become close with them. We get to know their, you know, their stories. We remember how they've, you know, like last week they were sick. We ask how they're feeling. We remember that, you know, their dog passed away. We ask how they're doing on that. There's those little touches that we do that are different because we actually care and we make sure that we present that and we just act like ourselves and we just have a good time every day. And the customers that call in, they have no idea we're a service. We don't share that. The only way they find out is, and that's happened a couple of times where I'm in a networking group. So we had a real estate agent in the networking group call 3 or 4 of our trade contractors and were getting the same person, the same bee answered the phone every single time. So that was pretty funny because after the 3rd or 4th one, she's like, how am I getting you every single time I call?
That's great.
That is great.
So we had to share.
Do you have a kind of a niche market that you serve? You know, this industry kind of is the one that we really are good at, seem to be maybe more of your clients seem to be going into kind of that group?
We do. Our best small to medium-sized businesses, they work long hours and burn the candle at both ends. They stay stressed and they often complain about how far behind they are.
You're explaining John to a T right now, by the way, describing him exactly.
Our client list includes skilled trades contractors such as handymen, plumbers, window cleaner. We also have established trades such as a construction contractor, an HVAC contractor, and a radon mitigation. And in addition, we support a couple of attorneys, an IT company, a couple of business coaches, a mortgage company, a professional networking organization, and a church bishop, just to name a few.
Let me rephrase the question. Is there anybody you don't work with?
If a client's not the right fit, we'll know that pretty soon in the onboarding process, and I'll let them know.
Same question as our first guest. How do people kind of contract out with you? Is it usually an extended period of time? It seems like it might be, or do you kind of like the first carry? Is it kind of maybe also on a project basis?
Well, we offer different packages, and so our phone support packages, we actually don't have a contract for that. It's month to month, so it's based on need. Everything's is based on about 15 hours a month. But we do also offer a bank of hours package, which we do require a 3-month commitment in contract. All of our packages start at $600 a month. We have, like, in the colony, the Hive colony consists of a messenger bee, which is a messenger service where we answer phones and take messages only. We have the carpenter bee, which is our phone answering support, scheduling and follow-up calls. And of course, the honey bee, which is everything. It's the whole enchilada or taco. And that includes phone answering support, scheduling follow-up calls, plus admin support and send out cards account management.
Wow. So I want to get to how you get your bees, because I think that's a differentiator for you as well, right? Because you don't have, there are a lot of virtual assistant enterprises that they're essentially employing contractors,
right?
And contractors can come and go, and
right.
So you've got a little different model. Talk about
I
that.
I do.
Yeah.
All of my bees are W-2 employees. I don't hire any contractors unless it's for a very specific project that we might not do on a day-to-day basis. But my employees are W-2, and I find them all through referral. One I found through my networking group. The original bee, Jessica, I knew her, and I stalked her, and I asked her to come work for me, and I asked her to quit her perfectly good full-time job and come work for me part-time, because that made sense. But she did, and the rest is history, and that's how the bees got started. Jessica found a couple of the other girls because she knew them from church, and, you know, we interview. I knew one of the girls because of someone I knew, and you find great women and men, if it were to come up. And, you know, we've just been very blessed with wonderful employees, and we're a great team.
Great. Well, that's a great story. And congratulations on the growth and continued success. Carrie Jones, the Hive solution for those companies that are interested in what you just had to say and may want to look into your services. Where can they find more information?
They can visit our website at www.yourbusybees.com. And our phone number is 678-573-HIVE. That's HIVE 4483. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Great. Carrie, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Carrie Jones with the Hive Solution here on North Fulton Business Radio. Quick reminder that Roswell Infinity, we are in the Roswell Infinity studio, and they are one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service. They're dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether you're purchasing your car or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at roswellinfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter. Our next guest here, our third and final guest, Trent Bramblett with Ceviche Taqueria. Did I say it right?
You did perfect.
I got it, or at least close. You're being nice.
No, you did good.
Actually, great food located in Alpharetta and in Roswell.
And
two
Roswell
locations. We've been there for a business after hours.
We have.
Great atmosphere. So tell us about your restaurant. Give us the locations and tell us what to expect when we walk through the doors.
Okay. Well, we have two locations. Our original location is in Roswell on Canton Street, 963 Canton Street. That was opened coming up in August 13th. It'll be our 10-year anniversary.
So wow. 10 years. Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm still going.
Yeah, in the restaurant business, that's a big deal.
We need to do a live broadcast during the 10-year anniversary.
That'd be great.
We do.
Talk to us after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a 3-day event. So that would be great at some point to get you over there. And then we opened our second location, which is in downtown Alpharetta, and that is at 42 Milton Avenue. And very excited about that new location. Opened in December of 15. Things are going great. You know, there's a lot of events in Alpharetta. So basically, when you walk in the door, we're there to give you some good food, give you great service, and, you know, have a good time. You know, it's like what I tell my managers and my employers, or my employees, servers, bussers, whoever it is, hosts. You know, it's like having somebody come in your house. You know, you want them to have a good time, enjoy themselves, and feel comfortable.
Great. Obviously, there's a lot of competition in the market that you serve, a lot of restaurants out there. Talk more about specifically the cuisine, the types of drinks, you know, what's so special about your place?
Well, you know, we started it went back way back with my father. He had a little cafe on Canton Street in downtown Roswell. And this was a while back before it got to the point that it is now. And he had a little cafe, and originally it was going to be coffee and desserts. He had been an entrepreneur his whole life. He had been in the garment business, in the clothing business. Michael Bramlett is his name. My mother is Peggy, and they had a clothing company, and they produced goods out of Turkey and shipped them across the country. And they were not in the restaurant business. So my dad, being the type of person that he was, he's always a foreseer and, you know, a forward thinker, and basically he converted one of his retail shops on Canton Street into a little cafe. And he was going to do coffee. That was back in the Starbucks early days, and desserts. Well, he found that people wanted food, so he kind of started making sandwiches. And then he got a girl in there that was from Mexico. She started making some dishes back in the back. And he said, "What is this? This is really good. Let's start serving this." So that kind of evolved. And his was still a cafe, and we had an opportunity a little over 10 years ago. We had couple doors down from that, a location come open, and we said, "What can we do here?" Thought about different things, all American, you know, sports bar, what would fit in this area. And, you know, we looked around, and, you know, people love Mexican food. And we said, you know, what can we do? How can we create our menu to kind of have a variety? You know, it's not Tex-Mex. It's authentic Mexican in some ways, but it's got traditional things like chimichangas and fajitas. And so we try to kind of pull from a lot of different places. You know, I'd been to a lot of different Mexican restaurants in my time. And, you know, my parents and their business had traveled out to Dallas, Texas, and they had a favorite spot out there. And I had worked with them in their business, so I'd been to that place as well. So it was just kind of a, you know, a group effort to kind of come up with what we liked. It's done well.
That's great. And approaching 10 years in Roswell, and then you went to Alpharetta. How long have you been in Alpharetta?
So Alpharetta was 2015. Ideally, we were opening spring of 2015, but, you know, when you jump from one business to another or open another location, and, you know, Carrie, you were talking about that earlier, a lot of valuable things that you have to learn, and it's a process. And so we finally got it open, you know, with the help of, you know, Alpharetta was great. I couldn't be more appreciative of the things that they did for us, and very helpful in that process. So we got open, and, you know, right away, it was a great location that we really kind of scoped out. My father found the location. We were looking at some different areas, but with the events that Alpharetta puts on, the professionalism that they do when they do these events, we're on Milton Avenue. They closed down Milton Avenue for all these events. So we are a restaurant and a bar right there for everybody, and, you know, it's been great. It's been really good.
Now, what are the differences? Are there any differences between the two locations?
Well, Trent, if you go to Roswell, or if you're, this is funny because as we opened Alpharetta, you know, I had to spend a lot of time at the Alpharetta location. I would go back maybe after, you know, a weekend night or whatever, a busy weekend day, and I'd go back to Roswell to see how they were doing. And I would walk in and I'd be like, I cannot believe we do what we do in Roswell in this small little space. I mean, literally, you know, it's about 900 square foot to 1,000 square foot in our main part. Now, we did build on the back of it, and we have a back patio with some extra storage. Alpharetta is a whole different ballgame. It is, you know, probably twice the size bar. We did that specifically because of the events that we knew that were going to happen in Alpharetta. And then inside seating, you know, the front part is very similar to Roswell, even though it's a little bit bigger. And then we have a back area that we can do a lot of events back there, a lot of private parties. And then we have a front patio like Roswell, but a little bit bigger. And then a whole side patio where y'all had your event.
Right. Alpharetta Business Association.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when the weather is perfect like it was that day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was
ideal. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
huge
it's,
crowd.
And it's covered, and we have, you know, a lot of events. So, you know, that's the biggest difference. It's funny because when we opened Alpharetta, we would see some of the people from Roswell, some of our regulars, they would come down, they would check it out. And some of them would be like, I kind of like Roz a little better. You know, it's real small and quaint. But then some people were like, oh, Alpharetta is so much better, so much bigger, you know, so much more space. And they like that. So, hey, best of both worlds.
Oh, boy, he's gotten a controversy started now between our folks, our politicians in both places, right? They want to keep everybody at home, Mike, right?
So he's negotiating for bigger space in Roswell, sounds like.
That's right.
No, we're just kidding. But yeah. Food reasonably priced, great place to bring family, kids, the whole family for dinner or lunch. And are you open for lunch every day?
So we're open 7 days a week.
Okay.
And lunch and dinner. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, when we established it, it's not, you know, too high in Mexican, you know, and we wanted to be in a good price range, but it is, you know, very fresh, authentic food. So I tell people, if you want to come in and get a number one or number 10 or number 11, you know, we can make that for you. You know, it might not be on our menu, but you know, you got to give them what they want. It's very kid friendly. We've made sure of that. You know, a lot of places are higher end type places and it's a little more difficult. And I totally understand that. You know, if you want to go out and have a nice time without children. I have 5 kids, so I understand that point of things. But a lot of times you have to have your kids with you. So, you know, we have plenty of high chairs. We have, you know, like laid back atmosphere. You know, that's the way it is.
Ceviche Taqueria, the owner Trent is with us. Two locations, Roswell, Alpharetta. Any more on the horizon? What are the plans moving forward since the first two are doing so well?
They really are. That's one of the things. So I co-own the business with my younger sister, Micah Oryk. She actually has another business in downtown Alpharetta, the district, yep. Which is a hair salon and events type place. And she's always been involved in that. So, you know, we got to the point where we could do some other things like this. But another location, I think, you know, one of the things that Carrie Matthews was talking about as far as when you're building your business, that's one of the things when we had Ceviche number one and we wanted to go to number two. What did we need to do at number one to get it to where we could go to number two? And so, we've done that, and it's a challenge. You know, I'm ping-ponging back and forth between Roswell and Alpharetta, putting out fires. But, you know, we definitely are looking, depending on the location, you know, you got to fit to where, you know, what you offer is going to be good in that area. We have two fantastic general managers that are very talented and very gifted. Dustin Hancock is our general manager in Roswell. He's been with us almost the whole time we've been open, you know, maybe a year after. So he knows Ceviche. You know, if there's something to know about how do we run Ceviche, he's the guy. And then in Alpharetta, we've got a young guy named Joel Price who came from the corporate restaurant world. He's got a lot of energy, a lot of passion. He makes great contacts and he's got a great vision. So between those two guys and my sister, Micah, and myself, and my father, Michael, and my mom, Peggy, you know, we really look to see what we can do in the future.
It's all about great people, right, Trent? Yeah, so I want to mention though one other thing you do. You do catering. So talk about your catering business and how you can help businesses that are interested in that.
Absolutely. So, you know, we did it in Roswell. We've done events, you know, events where we go out and put a tent up and, you know, might be at a park, you know, and we'll do tacos. That seems to work best every time, chicken or beef tacos. But yes, catering, you know, we can do small parties. We do it. Actually, Joel and Alfred has done a lot of that.
Yep.
Well, he'll do events. We'll have people come into the Alfred location, or if they are in Roswell and maybe it's a party that wants to go somewhere, we can direct them to Alpharetta, or we can go set up at, you know, at their place. So we've done catering for, you know, small parties of 20, and we could do catering for bigger parties of over 100.
Or radio shows, maybe.
That's right. Yeah, hint, hint. So, but one, I want to mention one specific thing on the menu. We can't let this go without talking about one thing that I think really does differentiate you, being one of your consumers, is ceviche. I mean, you've got several different kinds of ceviche, and talk about that because that's a differentiator, I think, between you and a lot of other folks out there.
It really is. And that, you know, when we came up with that name, it was distinctive. And so that kind of is what set us apart. So ceviche is a Peruvian dish that originated there. And basically it's a fish, usually a white fish is going to be best. And the way it cooks, it marinates in lime juice, orange juice. That's actually how it's cooked. So, for instance, we might have mahi ceviche. That marinates for 8 hours. And that it's a cold dish, but it is cooked. It basically breaks down the proteins of the item. And it's not raw. It's not sushi. And it's just a variety. It's a very good fresh dish when the weather's warm and it's hot outside. it's hard to keep that, you know, in stock. I mean, we were making it left and right, you know, re-prepping. I could be in the middle of a dinner shift or over the weekends, you know, from shrimp to mahi to scallops. And we're actually, our new menu's coming out because we're always changing. You always have to change and evolve. And we're trying to, you know, we came up with some good ideas of what we can put with the ceviche. We do cilantro, pico de gallo, all that's kind of mixed in with onions, avocado. But, you know, there's different things you can mix with it. So we're always looking to better it and make it, you know, something new and something that people can try. But about, I would say once we, when we opened, only about 3 or 4 out of 10 people knew what ceviche was. They just, you know, and so now hopefully we've educated some people on what it is.
I was afraid to ask. I'm glad you asked the question. I wasn't sure. So
I mean, I'm speaking from, I'm one of those guys that eats it. So I have enjoyed it. It's a great dish, and you've got varieties too. So you can, if you can't make up your mind, you can have a combo dish and try 3 different kinds or whatever. It's pretty.
Yeah, we've got the first timer is what we called it. So yeah, you can do 3 out of the ones that we choose, a little smaller portions of it, or we do the ceviche pro, which means you know what you like, you know, you've had this before, and we'll give you 3 as well, but a little bit, you know, more portions, and because some people just don't want one type of fish. They want to, you know, have them all.
Now, I've got some family that does not eat fish. So for maybe a chicken, what would you recommend for someone that's maybe not a fish eater or seafood eater? What's a dish they say, man, you got to try this one?
Well, one of our signature dishes is our enchiladas verde. So it's chicken enchiladas verde with the green sauce. What we call it is Elsa's chicken enchiladas. And the reason is Elsa is the girl that was my father's original cook that came in. When we opened Alpharetta, we said, you know what, let's make this Elsa's enchiladas now. So that's what we call it. You know, you can get that at other places, and I'm sure it's good, but I think ours is fantastic. And that's one of the things that it's not overfilling, but it's got lettuce and tomato and avocado and onions.
And a green sauce. Is that an avocado sauce? What is that made of?
It's a tomatilla sauce.
Okay.
So tomatillas are like a small, you know, tomato, and they're brewed down, and, you know, there's jalapenos that go in that, and cilantro.
Sold.
And so it goes over the top of it. It almost looks, when you see the presentation of the dish come out, it almost looks like a salad. People are like, what is this? And we're like, just dig down. You'll find the good stuff.
So it's not some corporate recipe that has come along. I mean, Elsa made it, right? So it's a homegrown recipe from a homegrown restaurant. That's absolutely cool stuff.
What are you doing this afternoon?
I think we're ending this show right now. I'm heading over to ceviche.
Darn, I got another show to do, but geez, later today. Again, go ahead and give the location for those that would like to obviously check it out in a website as well.
Yeah, so our original location is 963 Canton Street in Roswell, downtown Roswell, which is the historic area of Roswell. Our second location is at 42 Milton Avenue in Alpharetta. That's downtown Alpharetta. Our website is cevichetaqueria.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Trey's on your website right now, our producer, and something's caught his attention. You want to tell him? You want me to tell him? And the empanadas? Empanadas. Oh, okay.
Empanadas.
Apparently caught his eye.
Yeah, filled with either chicken, ground beef, or chorizo, or pork. You can do any of those.
All right. Trey, after our second show today? Yeah. That baby's killing his whole social life.
You know, that doesn't keep you and me from going, pal.
I don't have a baby. Yeah. I'm going to try to get over there this afternoon. Trent, thank you so much for coming by and seeing us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great to see you. All right, John, one more piece of business to do before we say our goodbyes.
Yeah, we got to tell everybody about Digital Ignition, where we camp out here at Business Radio X. Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, video recording studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
I don't want to jump on the tagline. Is there a tagline or you,
no?
You done?
No, okay. I was checking you out to see if you were going to run over me again.
No,
you did fine that time.
No, I did. Again, a big thank you to our guests, Carrie, Carrie, and Trent, for joining us. That's the new law firm in town, Carrie, Carrie, and Trent. And Want to thank all our listeners. A reminder, you can listen to the show anytime, 24/7, by going to NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. The show is also available on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the social media platforms as well. I might see you for lunch today. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know what you got going on, John.
Ceviche. Here we come.
All right. For John, for our producer, Trey, for Savannah, who did our social media, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time right here from the Roswell Infinity Studio. This has been North Fulton Business Radio.